Welcome to Module 3 in the Evidence-Based Leadership Program, The Habit of Direction. The first three EBL habits are what we as leaders need to master. We need to practice certain things to role model evidence-based management in our organizations. If we don't do it, no one else will. Those that follow will do as the leaders do, not as the leaders say. The EBL habits that leaders need to master are direction, evidence, and execution. And here we start with direction. It's probably much more complex leading an organization than sailing a ship across an ocean. But the fundamental principle of direction is the same. If the captain isn't clear about where to go and how to hold that heading when the seas get rough and the tides turn and the sky clouds over, and the crew gets worried and confused, then the voyage fails. Leaders of high-performance organizations are crystal clear about the direction and how to hold that heading when the pressure's on. This is the habit of articulating a clear direction. A timber products company had an EBL immersion workshop, and on the first day, the leadership team were practicing the habit of direction. The CEO was John, and he remarked that finally, now that they had made their goals clear and specific and measurable, that he had multiplied himself by 12, because now his entire leadership team could tell the same story about the company's strategy. Have you tested if your leadership team can tell the same story of your strategy? Well, often they can't tell the same story of your strategy because of how the strategy is written. Don Watson is best known for being Paul Keating's speechwriter and advisor when Keating was Prime Minister of Australia. He's also the author of a best-selling book, Death Sentence: The Decay of Public Language. We need life in language to inspire people and to create understanding. Without life, our words fall on deaf ears. The concept of weasel words is something Don Watson writes about a lot. We call it management speak, jargon, waffle. I'm sure it would take you no time at all to find a few weasel words in your current strategic goals. Strategy, though, must be written with life in it if it's going to be understood, believed in, and executed. I really like what Don Watson has to say about this. Active language incites activity. It helps to establish trust between the governors and the governed, and the managers and the managed. How we write our strategy has a profound impact on what people do with it. Strategy is implemented and experienced in the physical world. Without describing it that way, we can't know it's happening or not. But how do we write our strategy typically? Here's a sample of some very typically worded goals. Enhance supply reliability and quality. A zero harm culture program to ensure a safe workplace for people. Foster a resilient and adaptable workforce. Is the way that these three goals are written similar to how goals are written in your organization? Why are they written this way? Is it a fear of accountability? Is it wanting to look professional? Is it keeping it broad for everyone to connect to? Or is it just a habit? But there are consequences of writing strategic goals like that. They're hard to communicate, they're hard to understand, and they're near impossible to measure. Now, if we can identify the features that make goals hard to communicate, hard to understand, and impossible to measure, then we can change. And three of the main features that create this problem are weasel words, which is not plain and observable in unambiguous language, that they're action-oriented, not results-oriented, and that they focus more on business as usual. In other words, they're not clear improvement priorities. So let's see what happens when direction is written differently. So the meaning of the original goals that we looked at before, they're not clear. The words used are the problem. Change the words deliberately and the meaning becomes clear. So the original goal, enhance supply reliability and quality. Once you deal with those three problems of weasel words, action orientation, and business as usual, it gets rewritten as customers' electricity supply is uninterrupted and customers' equipment is not damaged by voltage fluctuations. That's what that goal really meant. The goal Zero Harm Culture Program to ensure a safe workplace for people. When we worked out what that really meant, it was that safety is the first topic in every team meeting. And foster a resilient and adaptable workforce, what that really means is people don't suffer chronic work stress and people participate willingly in change projects. Those goals might mean something different in your organization, but that's the point. You've got to figure out what they really mean and communicate what they really mean in clear, unambiguous, results-oriented language. There is a recipe for writing a direction that is easy to communicate, easy to understand, and easy to measure, and therefore easy to implement. Measurability is a gauge of how easy a strategy is to communicate, understand, and find meaningful measures for. In our performance measurement methodology, PUMP, one of the techniques that's particularly useful to evidence-based leaders is the measurability tests. There are five of these measurability tests, and goals that provide a clear direction will pass each one of these tests. The first test is to check if your goal is results-oriented. If it's not, if it's describing an action or an activity, turn the action into a result by asking why. Why are you doing it? The second test is to have no weasel words. And if you do have weasel words, translate those weasel words into other words or phrases that a fifth grader would understand. The third test is to have no multi-focus aspect to your goals. Treat each goal as a single goal, focusing on a single result. If your goal has more than one focus, then you've really got more than one goal. The fourth test is the should, can, will test. Should you improve this result? Can you improve this result? And will you improve the result? Be ruthless about that. Should means that it's important, can means that you have influence over it, and will means that you'll allocate resources and time to it. And the last test is a test to make sure that your goal really does fit into the whole story of your current strategy. Ensure that you've got a strong line of sight between the goal and ultimate purpose or priorities in your strategic direction. Your facilitator at your EBL immersion workshop will guide you through this measurability tests technique and apply it to your goals. But if you want to play with it now, just for practice, try this. Choose just one of your current strategic goals. It won't matter which one it is, we're just practicing. What's going to happen is you'll put that goal through three of the measurability tests. If your goal fails any one of the tests, then you'll rewrite it until it passes that test. You'll then take that newly worded goal on to the next test. If it fails, you'll rewrite it until it passes that test, and so on. Start by writing down your strategic goal. The three tests you'll practice are these. Firstly, what you've written down, is it a result or is it an action? If it's an action, it fails, and so you'll rewrite it as the intended result of the action. The next test is, does it have any weasel words? If it does, then you'll rewrite it with plain language instead of the weasel words. And thirdly, is it multi-focused? If yes, You'll separate the goal into a single goal for each specific result or focus that the original goal had. There you have it. Let's wrap up our exploration of the first EBL habit of direction with a summary of three important things to focus on when we articulate our direction using strategic goals. These are the three important mindset shifts that will help us practice that habit of direction. Results, not actions. Write down our goals as results, not actions. Write down the why, not the how. No weasel words. Write goals clearly, not with weasel words. And this is the fifth grader or 10-year-old test. And be ruthless. Only keep goals that should, can, and will be pursued. Now we're ready to move on to the second habit of EBL, which is evidence. And one of the things I hope that you'll notice is the simple but powerful recipe for how to write really excellent performance measures. Coming up next is Module 4 of the Evidence-Based Leadership Program, the second EBL habit of evidence. It's about creating performance measures that focus on learning how to improve performance with quantitative evidence of the results that matter.